Wonderful to be in God's house today to serve the Lord with gladness. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Talking today on the slippery slopes of life. Man is a creature that slips. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. This has nothing to do with your salvation. Doesn't mean you fall from grace. How do you fall from what God has established and firmed in your life? But you need to be careful in life. There are slippery slopes of life. The Bible says, think it not strange concerning the strange things that will come upon you. Be careful. 1 ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The word backslide, by the way, does not appear in the New Testament. It is basically an Old Testament term regarding the nation of Israel in their sojourn in the wilderness. Says is like a heifer on its haunches. The picture is a young heifer in the harness with a mature animal. Young does not want to help, drags its feet, pulls all against it, not a mature thing. Rebellious and resistance to following God, you begin to drift, you cool off, then you slow down, then you become cold. Yes, we have to understand there are slippery slopes. April 14, 1912, the Titanic went down in the bubbling waters. Why? Because it was riveted together by iron instead of by steel. That was the difference. That's why it went down. Think of that. Saints may fall into sin and loathe it. Sinners fall into sin and loves it. There's a difference when you're a creature, a creation by God and a Christian, because you have a new nature. That nature is the nature of Christ. Prayerful preparation prevents poor performance. Prayer is powerful. It's wonderful. The church at Laodicea in Revelation 20:17, because you say you are rich and increased in goods and need of nothing, you are wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked. There are some sins we have to deal with as Christians. Number one, the sin of casualness. Elijah prayed that he might die. Wow. He had finished calling fire from heaven, killed 40 priests of the world, relaxed from the battle and in it became spiritually conditioned. You become relaxed in your spiritual condition. You let down your guard. You're no longer sharp in your priorities. Sin does not explode. It simply erodes. Why did he do it? For three reasons. Number one, he became tired. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 reads, be not weary, that means faint in heart. In well-doing you shall reap if you faint not. He was tired. Number two, he was tested, threatened by Queen Jezebel. Fear gripped him. My goodness, he killed all the prophets of Baal. Now he's afraid of a woman. That's pretty natural. Are you caught between a request and results? Shattered dreams, unanswered prayers, ships that never came in. Think of that. So he became tired. He was tested. Number three, he had tendency to doubt. Thomas had a similar experience. Weary from the past, he doubted the present. The sin of cavalousness. The sin of carelessness. Lot in Genesis 13 pitched his tent toward Sodom. He went that direction, and you fall where you lean. And he is the sign of the last generation. Think of that. Have you moved from God? A couple riding in the car, not sitting close together. And she said to him, how come we're not close together anymore? He said, I'm driving. Who moved? And I want to say the same to us. God's never moved. Yes, Lot was weak in his devotions. Miss your Bible study and you will slide. Miss your prayer time and you will slide. He was worldly in his desires. No longer have money, but he has you. You'll slide. Wrong decisions. sat at the gate where transitions were made and became a part of the world system. The church has to be careful that the church doesn't become so worldly and the world becomes so churchy, you can't tell the difference. A church is a physical, spiritual entity alive in the world today. Let's speak up in America as Christians. Wrong in his divorces, world in his desires, wrong in his decisions. The sin of casualness. Just let it flow. Just let it go. Sin of carelessness. We need not be careless with our spiritual life. It's important to understand that. Carelessness. Weak in his devotions. World in his desires. Wrong in his decisions. Sin of casualness. The sin of carelessness. And the sin of compulsiveness. Paul said, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. David's a study of character, nobility, wisdom, courage, devotion, yet there's a dark chapter in his life, Bathsheba. His harvest is no time to relax. He was relaxing. He should have been at the battle. When you're at the battle fighting the devil, you're in the safest spot you can be. Relax. Probably said, I've fought my battles. I've won some wars, yet I think I'll stay at home. I've done my time on the battlefield. I'll just lay back and rest. There's no resting for a Christian when you're in a battle. Sword in your hand, desire in your heart, power in your spirit. Waking up to the reality that God has you in a battle. David was called a man after God's own heart. Undefected weakness. D.L. Moody said, as he pointed at us, alcoholics staggering down the street, if it were not for the grace of God, there goes D.L. Moody. Don't ever forget, it's God's grace that's holding you. Unexpected opportunity. A beautiful woman tempted him. Unprotected accountability. He should have been fighting as a warrior. He won over Goliath. He was a strong man. David may never intended his sin. It must just happen. He watched out, did not watch out for the compulsive sin when he looked across and saw this beautiful woman bathing in the nude. There are three people sitting in your seat, in your seat. The person you are, but the person you could be by God's will, and where you would have been if you're evil and unsaved. How unlike Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Day and night she tempted him, but he did not yield. God put him all the way to the throne. It pays not to be defeated by the devil. God has good things for you. Hang on. Be strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. Fourth, there's a sin of callousness. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. How callous his disciples were in that point. How callous the soldiers were in Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Jesus, they led him away, but Peter followed at a distance. Overconfident in himself. Don't ever think you can stand in yourself. Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to die, to go with you both to prison and to death. Overconfident. Our strength is not in our physical. It's in our spiritual. It's not in what we think. It's what we do. We have to be conscious of the fact that we have confidence in God. I'm ready to go with you, he said. Overcame in his witness. I don't know the man, he said. Even cursed and swore. Can you believe that? It is unbelievable what a person can do when they're full of doubts and questions and away from God. Don't go with the crowd. Don't drink with them. The God of Baal was supplier of water and food. They worship Baal. What are you worshiping? I want to say, and if you had to leave your house today, what thing would you take with you? The lady that left the Titanic left all of her jewelry. One piece of bread. Value comes under pressure. When a child is lost in the storm, lost out in the woods, nothing else matters but finding that child day or night. Please help me find my child. That's all that matters. When difficulties come, the truth of your spiritual life comes out. Overconfident in himself, overwhelmed in his witness, imagine cursing and swearing, overwhelmed. I see a scene that brings tears to my eyes. Jesus is walking along, or standing there rather, and Peter's walking by. And Jesus just looks at him. Looks at him. He said, praying for you. Think of that. Has Jesus been watching you today? Yes, he has. His eyes on the sparrow. I know he watches me. God is looking at you not to condemn you, but he can't keep his eyes off you because he loves you so much. He cares about you. He knows where you are in your life. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow. He knows what friends will become enemies, what enemies will become friends. He knows what your future is. And the Bible says that I saw all of your days before they were written. Wow. God sees forwards and backwards at the same time from eternity to eternity. He knows what you're going through today. Some of you have a heartache. You can't sleep at night. You lost a loved one. I know what that's like. You're frustrated for what's happening to your children, grandchildren, even great-grandchildren. You're disturbed about the health, and you're wondering what's going to happen in your life tomorrow. What's waiting out there for me? I'll tell you what's waiting out there. Jesus is waiting out there. God above, the Holy Spirit in us, and Jesus beside us, how can we lose? The Trinity never has an emergency meeting. They know what's going on all the time in your life. God is with you. He was with you to the end, he says. To the end of what? The end of your life. He'll be there. Oh, D.L. Moody, in his dying moment, said, the chair of the Lord's by my side. I'm stepping in. If this is death, oh, how sweet. How wonderful. Death is not a tragedy, it's a triumph. It's not a falling, it's a rising. In the likeness of Jesus forever, see our loved ones and our friends and be with Jesus forever. What can be better than that and a mansion to hold? God cares about you. He loves you. I want to say to you that are watching and listening in many parts of the world today, 198 nations of the world. We're in a lot of them today. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what your problems are, no matter where you are, God loves you today, now. He cares for you. He loves you. He wants to change you. God comes to speak to you today. How does he speak to us? Through the Bible, through the scriptures, and with the Spirit. Our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are a child of God. What is dead in a person? You're dead in your sins. It's a spirit that's dead. When we become saved, our spirit bears witness with his spirit. Our spirit wakes up. It comes alive. That's what's dead in trespasses. Your soul's not dead. Your body's not dead. But your spirit is the connector between you and the Almighty God himself. What a joy to know that. What a blessing to know that today. Now I want you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Room at the cross for you that are listening and watching around the globe. God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. I've said it before. He loves you. He cares for you. He created you. He has a plan for your life. Don't miss it. The greatest tragedy I can think of is a person to go through life and never find out why he was here. You are here to glorify God through salvation, through sanctification, through redemption, through grace. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he cares for us. How he wants to help us today. Stand with me for just a moment before we begin communion. I want to have a prayer. If you're listening today, you can come to Jesus by simply saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. Save me today through your precious blood, and he'll do it. God's here to help us today. God loves you today. He wants to minister to you by his power and by his spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful time. Thank for the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our gentlemen.